So this morning you see there, Genesis chapter 1, and just as a kickoff, we'd like to read there verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. We'd like to read that for us this morning.
Genesis 1, verse 1?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
All right, so there it is. Easy peasy, simple. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And this morning, we're talking about the creation account. And just as a start, you notice there, it says, in the beginning, God. And just as a principle, that's always a good principle to have as a Christian, to always start with God. Each new day, each new week, each new month, each new year, you start a marriage, you start a career, you start whatever it is we start in life. We should always start with God. We should begin with the Lord. He should be the focus and the first one that is at the center of all that we do. And so your handout there, and we're going to go through that quickly this morning before we get into the main points of the lesson. But here in Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2 and verse 3, we have how God created the world. And he describes for us how he created the world. And the very first thing we saw there in verse number 1 is the beginning of the universe. In the beginning, God already was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So before anything else ever came to be, God was there at the beginning. Now, you haven't lived until you've had a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old come up to you and say, who created God? And you try to explain to them, well, God's always been. He, you know, he wasn't born. He didn't have a beginning. He didn't have an end. He's just always been. And then the kid just, you know, they're an unlimited supply of questions when you explain that, well, God has always been. But we see here the beginning of the universe, and in the beginning, God already was. And so he begins here to start to create some things. And so who'd like to read there verse number 2? Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. Katie, go ahead.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
All right, and so here, as God begins to describe how he created the world for us, we see that the world before God put anything into the world, there was a barrenness to this world. There was an emptiness to this world. There was nothing there. And, you know, again, just as a principle, just as a side, you know, we talked about there in verse number 1 that in the beginning God, how as Christians and as a people, we should always start with God. The truth of the matter is that without God in our life would be just that. Like the world was here at the beginning, it would be empty, it would be void, it would be barren, it would be meaningless. And that's what the world was here before God started to populate it and start to create the universe and the world as we know it today. And after the creation of the universe, we see here the world was unshapen, it was empty. And so God had to shape it, he had to fill it, and that's what we're going to see now. That he does here in the rest of Genesis chapter number 1. Who'd like to read there verses 3 through 5? Michaela, go ahead.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
All right, and so we see here that on day 1, God creates light. Before there was anything, and before we know light as we know light today, there was no light. And so God had to create the light there in verses 3 through 5. Who would like to read verses 6 through 8? Verses 6 through 8. Miss Martha, go ahead.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning for the second day.
All right. So now we see here on day two, God sends the firmament, and that firmament is just basically the vision, the dividing line between earth and heaven, between the sea and between our dry land here. And so here on the second day, we see God creates that firmament. Then we move on to day number three there. Who'd like to read verses 9 through 13? Verses 9 through 13. Mandy, go ahead.
And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day.
All right, and so here now we see this third day, and now God starts to create the dry land. He starts to create the plant life. And then that takes us into day number four. Who'd like to read there verses 14 through 19? Verses 14 through 19 this morning. Katie, go ahead.
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and rule over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
All right. Thank you there. Jacob, is your sister with you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're going to go with Miss Michaela here and Miss Nicole, and they're going to have your Sunday school class for you this morning, okay?
Where?
You're going to go with Miss Michaela right here. All right, and so we see here on day number five now, or day number four, God now fills this firmament. He fills it with the sun. He fills it with the moon. He fills it with stars. And we're turning into a wrestling match here, hitting people with chairs. And now day four leads us here to day number five. And who'd like to read there verses 20 through 23? Verses 20 through 23 this morning. All right, Miss Martha, go ahead.
20 through 23. And God said, let the water bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day.
All right. Thank you then, Miss Martha. And so now we see God, he gets from the sun, the moon, the stars. Now he creates the fish and the birds. And now this moves us on to day number six in verses 24 through 31. And who'd like to read that for us this morning? Verses 24 through 31. Mandy, go ahead.
And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
All right. Amen. And so now we come from light. We come from the firmament. We come from the dry land, the plant life. We come from the sun, the moon, the stars, the fish, the birds. And now we come to God's creme de la creme. We come to his crowning event. And we see here his crowning event is that of the creation of mankind. The creation of you and I as we know us today. And we see here the Bible tells us that he created us. And you notice it says he created three times there. And he created us in the image of God. And that's what we've been created in. And then, of course, after the creation, after the sixth day, and I'll read here chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we see the seventh day. The Bible says, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so now after God creates this whole vast world that we know today, he takes that seventh day to rest. Here's that other principle. So oftentimes, we can be accused of being workaholics and work. And I tell folks all the time, listen, if the God of the universe, and I don't believe he needed to rest. He rested to give us a principle of, we can't work all the time, or we're going to just burn ourselves out. We're going to wear ourselves thin. And so if God here says, you know what, the seventh day I'm resting, guess what? There's times when you and I need to just come apart and rest. And so we see here God describes how he creates the world here in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And that brings us into some thoughts here from chapters 1 and 2. And number 1, and we've already read these verses, so we won't read them for sake of time. But the very first thing we see from Genesis chapter 1 is God's word has the power to create. God's word has the power to create. In verses 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, and 29, we see the little phrase, and God said, and God said. And the word of God here says that he said, let there be light. And it's the same word of God that you have printed here in the form of your Bible. And God's word is no less powerful today than it was when he created the world. And so the same God that created the world way back when, everything God does, he does through his word. And you have in your hands, you have the perfect word of God in your Bible, in your hands, and you have it from Genesis to Revelation. And so you can have access to the very words of the living God for whatever your need might be. I just this week got into a discussion with somebody, and they said that because I gave them some Bible verses on some, and they said, oh, you can't quote the Bible about everything. The Bible doesn't have the answers for everything we face in life. And I thought, okay, yep, no point in having this discussion. And but we still had it. And but God's word has the answers for everything we face in life, and it has the power to create. But not only that, secondly, we see this morning, God's word always accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. You see there in those verses, it said, and God said, and then it goes from, and God said, in verses 7, 9, 11, 24, and 30, it says another four-word phrase, and it was so. And so God said it, and it was so. And that's what the Bible here says. And so God's word never fails to accomplish what God intends for it to accomplish. When God says it, you can take it to the bank that it's going to come to pass. You can take it to the bank that it's going to come to fruition. And when you use God's word the way that God says to use it, then it's going to accomplish what God says it will accomplish. I think it's the book of James. The Bible talks about how when we put forth the Bible, when we put forth the word of God, it will not return void. In other words, it will not return empty. And so we realized this morning that it always accomplishes it what God wants it to accomplish. And that doesn't mean it accomplishes what we wanted to accomplish, because then we would be God, he wouldn't be God. But what he wants it to accomplish, it always accomplishes. And then thirdly, we see this morning that God is always pleased with the result of his word. God is always pleased with the result of his word. So it went from, and God said, and it was so, and then it goes to the phrase, and God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. And that's there in verses 4, verses 10, verses 12, verses 18, verses 21, verses 25, and verse 31. And so when God looks at his word, and he looks at something he said, you know, he created this universe, he created this world, God is never displeased. God is never disappointed with what his word produces. So when God, when we look at what God created, he created the fish, he created the heavens, he created the earth, he created the land, he created the sea, he created you and I. And when he sees what his word accomplished, he's not disappointed in that. He's not displeased in that. And so oftentimes, you know, and our society has really fallen into the trap of this, that, you know, people are taught that, you know, that God, you know, or when someone looks at them, that they're not happy with them, or, you know, they're people call other people, oh, well, you know, you're a disappointment or whatever the case may be. And, you know, when someone says it to somebody else, what they're saying is, in essence, that God made a mistake with how he created you, with when he created you, or whatever the case may be. And we see here from the word of God that he says, and God saw that it was good. And so when he created you, when he created me, when he created this world, everything that we see in this world, he saw that it was good. And the result is always pleasing to God. Now, what we do, that's not always pleasing to God. And we know that. Sometimes we falter, we sin, we mess up. And those things aren't pleasing to God, but we as his creation are pleasing to God. And then, number four, we see God divided our lives into days. He divided our lives into days. Notice there, if you would, verse number 5. And we see that, again, this is repeated throughout Genesis chapter 1. But Genesis chapter 1, in verse 5, the Bible says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And now where we, and you notice this, God's calendar is different than our calendar. We quantify days by what? Day and then night. Well, God here, he quantified it by night and then morning. And so, and we see it when we get into, especially around Easter time and the crucifixion and the Jewish calendar, how it differs from our calendar. And that's how you can figure out just what day of the week Christ was crucified. You have to realize that they calculated time differently than we calculate time. And so we see that. But we see here, he divided our lives into days. And so God intended us to live our lives in daily cycles, with daily routines and daily habits. You know, sometimes we get into a habit, we get into a routine. And how many of us have ever said, you know, at one time or another, the my habit, my routine is just boring, mundane, it's the same. You know, it's over and over and over and over again. You know, how many of us has ever said that? No. But go back to your class there. And so, you know, so those daily routines, those daily habits, even though they seem boring, that's what God intended for us to have. He intended for us to have a daily routine. He intended for us to have daily habits and a schedule and things we do every single day. And then fifthly and finally this morning, we see that mankind is God's special creation. We see that mankind is God's special creation. Notice there, chapter 1 and verse 26 again. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And so we see here, God did not make any other creature in his image. He didn't make the fish in his image. He didn't make the cattle in his image. He didn't make dogs in his image. He didn't make cats in his image. He didn't make alligators in his image. He didn't make any of these things in his image. We are his special creation. We are the apple of his eye. We are the only creatures with body, with soul, with spirit, just as God is. You notice there, verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Now, when someone is trying to disprove the Bible or discredit the Bible, this is one of the verses they go to. Because we oftentimes get accused of worshiping more than one God, or that they'll point to this as a discrepancy. Well, is God one person, or is he multiple people? Because you see there, it says, "And God," that's singular, "said, let us make man in our image." Well, if you know your Bible, if you know the concept of the Trinity, you know that's what this is talking about. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our Father, Son, Holy Spirit image. And so I think of it this way, and this is how I explain it to people. God is one God, just as I am one person. But as one person, I have different roles. I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend. So that's what, four or five different roles, but I'm still just one person. And that's the same with us here this morning. You can be a sister, a mother, a spouse, but you're still just one person. And so when someone says, "Oh, well, you know, do you worship one God or three gods?" Or, well, that's how you can answer that question. And we see here, "And God said, let us make man in our image." We're the only creatures with body, soul, and spirit, just as God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we see this morning the crowning event in God's grand plan for the ages, and that was creation. Turn over to James chapter 3, and that's what we'll close with this morning. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And notice there, verse number 9. James chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, "Therefore," or "therewith, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." And so again, we see that we were created after and in the image of God. The crowning event of God's plan. plan of creation was when he created you and me. And there's no one like us. You know, I heard a Christian community one time. He said, look at your thumb. Right? And he said, your thumb body. There's nobody like you. Your thumb body. And I was like that. It's always stuck with me. But that's true. You know, there's nobody like you. And now we can get into, you know, twins and all that. But you are still uniquely you. Nobody else is you. You know, and that can also be a blessing. Thank the Lord nobody else is like you. Or thank the Lord nobody else is like me. You are one of a kind. And only God could do that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll be dismissed this morning.